We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 today, if you'll turn there. We have been on a series that God has completely hijacked. I haven't hardly preached anything that I thought I was going to preach as a part of it. And I hadn't missed it a bit. But the essence of the series is still the same. It's finding things and seeing things through the eyes of God. You run into people, and I'm sure that you're very much like this, that there's some areas and you want them changed. You want something to change in your life. And the way that we get to change is when we see that situation, that circumstance, that person, whatever it is, when we see it through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we see it the way God sees it. That's called revelation. That's when the Word becomes life to us. That's when change happens. And that's what this whole series has been about, seeing things the way that God sees them. So are you in Acts chapter 1 and 2? Jesus has, he's been crucified. He's risen from the grave. He's been back with his disciples, and he's been with them about 40 days. So this thing started around Passover. We're about 40 days into this thing, and it says that this risen Lord is teaching them about the kingdom of God for about 40 days. I want to draw your attention to verse 4. It says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so he tells these disciples that they're supposed to wait, and they're supposed to wait for a promise. And the promise is the person of the Holy Spirit. Say that to yourself, the person of the Holy Spirit. There you go, you said that out loud. That's good too. The person of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a thing. We're not talking about some kind of mystical thing. We are talking about the very person of Jesus Christ. In fact, this promise is so great that Jesus told those disciples earlier. He said, it's important, it's necessary that I go away. Because when I go away, then I can send you, he said, a helper. I can send you this Holy Spirit, the very presence of God. Think about that for just a minute. How many of you have ever looked at Scripture and thought, man, I sure would have loved to have been walking with Jesus? You read a story in the Bible and you're like, man, I wish I'd have been there. I wish I could see what Jesus really looked like, what his face and his hair and his eyes looked like. I wish I could have just walked with Jesus for just a little bit. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Disciples, you've been walking with me, but I need to go away. I need to go back in order to give you the Holy Spirit. So get this. The promise of the Holy Spirit is so good. It is so important that Jesus said if there was a choice for me to remain, let's just say for our lives, for Jesus to remain right there in present bodily fashion or to send his Holy Spirit, he said it would be better for the Holy Spirit to come. That's a good promise, right? And then the wait begins. Let's read verse 8. While you're waiting, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So he makes this promise to them, and then he ascends into heaven, and then they wait. How many of you are really good at waiting? Picture yourself, all right? It says there's 120 people gathered in this upper room, and they begin to wait. 120 people is probably about as many people as we had when the kids were in here, all right? So there's 120 people, and they're waiting. I don't know if they're any different than us. Just imagine that. So we wait. God's promised us something, and the first hour, there we are. We're waiting. We're like, man, we can't wait. The Holy Spirit's coming. He's been promised. This thing is good. And so we wait. And 5 minutes passes, right? You ever had that in your prayer life before? You were determined you were going to pray. And 5 minutes in felt like an eternity. And so they wait. And an hour passes. And he's not there. Now, how do they know that he's not there? You just know when you're missing something in your life. It's like, I just know that something's missing, and I don't know when I'll have it, this promise that he's given me, but I'll know. And so they wait for an hour, and then they wait for a day. I don't know if they went home, got lunch. I don't know if they had child care. That makes waiting even harder, doesn't it? Yeah. I've always wondered that. Did they have nursery while they were waiting? They wait for a day. And I bet they start thinking, in the Bible there's some significance to three. So maybe if we wait 3 days, on the third day, I bet he'll come. You know, he rose on the third day. And the third day comes, nothing. And they said, there's some significance in seven in the Bible. There's some significance in seven. Maybe if we just wait 7 days, he'll come. And so they wait. And 7 days comes, nothing. And it's in that waiting. How many of you have been waiting for God to do something? And we hate the waiting. I'm not even going to ask you if you hate waiting, because most of us just hate waiting, right? And so they're waiting, but there is something that's beautiful that happens in that waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. One, it clarifies their desire for what they want. Do they really want this Holy Spirit? Because I imagine it'd been so easy after about day 8 for some of those boys to say, you know what? I got bills to pay. I got things to do. I've waited for 7 days. He's not here. Fellas, y'all can stay if you want to, but I got to go. And they head on back into life. And so that waiting, sometimes it clarifies what we truly want in life. What do you really want today? There's 1,000 things that draw our attention, is it not? There's a 1,000 things. We got to get kids up. We got to get to work. We got to do homework. We got to get them to practice. We got to do all these things. And if I asked you, do you want the Holy Spirit to be full and rich in your life? I bet you would say yes. But can we wait? And let that waiting clarify for us that is the most important thing to us. Or would those 1,000 things, would they draw us away? Have those 1,000 things drawn you away? They've drawn you away to where this thing that you say that you want most, it just gets sort of lost. And so there they are, they're waiting. And they've got to decide, is this really what I want? Because if it's really what I want, I'm not going to move until I get what I want. Come on now. It's getting ready to be Black Friday. Some of y'all got a TV or a fishing rod or a rifle or something, and you want it. And you're going to get up early for it, and you're going to wait in a line for it, and people are going to be fussing and pushing and shoving, and you don't care. Why? Because you want it. And you want it so bad that you'll do anything in order to get it. You steal it if you could. But you'll wait in line for it too. They're waiting in line. And they said, I got to have this. Jesus has been so good that I got to have this Holy Spirit. And they begin to see their emptiness. Sometimes we don't like to see our emptiness. In John 20:22, it says that he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And so he was in them. But he had not come in his fullness. And I imagine as they're sitting there waiting and Jesus is gone, they're gripped by this emptiness inside. I don't know if there's anybody in the room that's gripped by the emptiness inside that you're like, I don't have this Holy Spirit that, not in the way that you're talking about. And that emptiness begins to create this hunger inside of them. And it begins to sort of tear them down. And then these hindrances begin to come up maybe. I'm just imagining. You think if this room full of people, if we waited for 10 days, you reckon we'd get anxious with each other? You think we'd get impatient with each other? I wonder if they were getting impatient. I wonder if they were starting to maybe fuss a little bit and things begin to get drawn up. Anytime you begin to wait on God, it seems that some things begin to surface. You ever tried to pray and all these crazy thoughts begin to come to your mind and you're like, where in the world did that come from? I think that sometimes that's the Holy Spirit drawing those things up because he's saying, you know what? If you want me, that thing right there, it's a hindrance. Now here's the thing. When you really want him the most, when he's all you want, and those things come up, you're like, oh, I'll gladly give it away. I'll gladly quit. I think there are some times where we have such trouble repenting of things, and it's because we're not really at a place where we want something more. I heard a pastor say one time he was dealing with a couple, and he looked at the man and he said, well, have you repented? And the man said, well, yeah, I have. And he said, well, what did you repent of? And the guy said, well, what do you mean, what did I repent of? He said, well, what did you repent of? He said, I don't know. He said, well, how can you repent if you don't even know what you're repenting of? And I said, that's a good point. And so sometimes we want to repent, but we can't even find the energy for it. But I can tell you this, when all you long for is God's Holy Spirit, when that is the most important thing, and something pops up and says, you know what, you might have to give that up, you'd say, gladly, gladly. Here it is. If that's the thing that's causing this situation to be delayed, then here it is. Oh, that's when repentance is sweet, y'all. And there's such grace on it that you're like, oh, that's what's holding this thing up? That's what's keeping this? Oh, gladly, I'll lay it down. And at some point, I think their hunger and their thirst for God was so much that God began to just, their hearts began to get knit together and unity started to form. I told a friend recently, I said, I don't know what's going on down here, but God is here. And I'm like, God's been doing some stuff. And he said, you guys must be unified down there. He said, God loves unity. Holy Spirit loves to come where the people are unified. In that upper room, it'd be so easy to fuss and fight. Can I just tell you guys right now, the one thing that I want us to protect, are you listening to me? The one thing I want us to protect is unity. It's a promise. Jesus paid for it. So he made it ours. Unity is ours. We don't have to work for it, but we certainly can maintain it. And I tell you that the Holy Spirit loves a place where the people will jealously guard unity. So I want us to agree together today that if it comes to anything dividing us, our relationships with each other, any kind of petty differences, we would say our desire for the Holy Spirit is so great that we absolutely refuse to be in disunity. We absolutely refuse it, and we will guard it at all costs because we know that the Holy Spirit loves it. And so this hunger, and it's building, and it's building, and then look at chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And then in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. He came like a rushing wind, and he came like fire. I used to think that when he came, they started speaking in tongues to present the gospel to people. That's what I've been told. And so I just read that they began to preach the gospel to people. They were speaking in tongues and people could hear this message of the gospel. But look at what they actually started doing. In verse 11, it says, we hear them in our own tongue speaking the mighty deeds of God. They were speaking the mighty deeds of God. Do you see what had just happened to them? The Holy Spirit had come on them and they realized that they had received the greatest gift that they could ever have. They would never be alone. Isn't that what we just sang? They realized that when the Holy Spirit came, they would never be alone. They would never be without. And as the presence of God filled them, we've walked through this. So if you've not been here the last little bit, in the Old Testament, God's presence came on the ark, but everybody didn't get to experience that. He came in the Holy of Holies, but only the priest got to experience that. He came in the form of Jesus, but if Jesus was in Jerusalem and you were somewhere else, you didn't get to experience him. And now the Holy Spirit comes and everybody gets to experience him. And he's inside of them. The person of Jesus Christ is living inside of them. Y'all, that has become the most precious thing right now. I was talking to somebody just last night, one of those kind of Holy Spirit encounters. And I told him, I said, the Holy Spirit is so precious to me right now. So valuable to me right now. And I've had people throughout the week, they'd say, how's your day or how's your week? Do you have people doing that? How's your day? How's your week? Let me tell you, because of this experience that I'm personally walking through with the Holy Spirit, when somebody says, how's your day going? I want to be like that. I'm almost embarrassed Honestly, I'm almost embarrassed that when they say, "How's your week going?" I'm like, "Dude, you don't even know how good my week is. You can't imagine how good I feel right now." Yeah, it's almost embarrassing. Now I've got to get to this place over here. You know, because when people say, "How's your week?" I'm like, "Ooh, oh Jesus." I told you I'd been praying for this for 10 years. Yeah. And I realize that I have something now in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know what? You can't take that from me. Do you realize that? And I realize it too. You can't take it from me. Now, all kind of things can go on in life. Yeah? Different things can happen in life. Life doesn't stop happening. Bad things don't stop happening. But I believe those folks realize that I am realizing that I have something, and I want you to have it too, that I have something that is so deep and it is so real that when I look at you, I'm like, you can't take this from me. The world can't have this. I believe that I could probably lay it down. I could let those thousand things again consume me, and I could walk away from this thing. But I got to tell you, oh, it's precious right now. And when they started speaking, they were speaking about the mighty works of God. Are the mighty works of God on your lips? Are they? When you go out into the world, is it the mighty works of God that's on your lips? I believe that's part of how we know when we have been filled to overflowing is when it's the goodness of God that's on our lips. It sure beats trying to teach people how to evangelize in a class. Anybody ever been to one of those? You know, how to evangelize. You know, how to tell somebody that a person that you don't even know is good enough to give your life to. That's sort of how evangelism classes have been for me. But oh man, when the Holy Spirit comes and begins to fill you up and it becomes this overflow of it's the only thing that's on your mind. It's the only thing that you want. You'll give up anything else and it just flows out of your lips just like then. What did they start talking about? They started talking about the mighty deeds of God. I think that's how we know when the Holy Spirit is real inside of us. So let me ask you this. What about Jesus? Because you see, you have to have Jesus first. And I want to deal with this right here when we say, if I ask you, do you know Jesus? What is your answer? Don't say it out loud. What is your answer? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you know that you will spend eternity with Him? And if your answer is, well, I don't know, I'm not sure, do you realize that it's the Holy Spirit inside of you that confirms that for you? And so if anybody is here today and you're like, you know, I don't know if I have Him or not, you can be absolutely sure. And if you're doubting, I'm at this place. I don't know if it's right or not, but I'm at this place that I think that if we're doubting, there's probably good evidence that either we don't know Jesus or we don't have the Holy Spirit full in our life. Because it's the Holy Spirit that wells up inside of us. And somebody says, is God real? You're like, oh, you bet He's real. I've been talking to Him all day. He's absolutely real. I guarantee it. You ever been on vacation, though? You had the best time on vacation. You had the most fun. You put all your pics on Facebook. You go to tell everybody, and they look at you and they go, that's good. You know, you go on a mission trip and you go to India or you go to wherever and you minister and you're just so excited and you come back and you want to tell everybody of what's going on and they look at you and they go, that's very good, thank you. You know? You just can't, can you? Because they weren't there. They didn't experience what you experienced on vacation. If you went to India, they just cannot smell how you can put diesel fuel, cow dung, and trash all into one smell. If you've never smelled it, you just don't know. You just don't know. I could tell you all about it. You could watch a show, but everybody who's been there looks at everybody that hadn't, and they go, you'll never know. I wonder why we get surprised when the world looks at us and when we talk about being full of the Holy Spirit, they're like, we're not even sure there is one. Because they have not personally experienced it. And until you personally experience it, you don't know. And so when somebody's declaring the excellencies of God, you're like, that's a freak. Yeah, that person's crazy. Yeah, I would tell you this. I guarantee you, as we walk through life, the world's going to judge us as foolish regardless. And I've decided now that if they're going to regard me as foolish, I want to be foolish for him. And so he's just pouring. He's pouring out a side of them. They're declaring the excellency of his name. There's boldness building up inside of them. There's an assurance about their salvation and a confidence about them. Do you have that? Oh God, I want you to have it so bad. I want you to have that so bad, where there is such an assurance of your salvation. There is such an assurance of God's presence in your life. I'm not here today to argue things about baptism and the Spirit being in you or on you or upon you or all of those things. He did promise that they would be baptized by the Spirit. And you know what baptism's like. We've had them here. We dip somebody in the water. We go on and immerse them, right? Yeah, some of you, if the little top of your head wants to float, some of you ladies, I'll push you down even further. You know? Just cause it's like, well, make sure we get it off. You know? Just get you so completely wet. You imagine that when the Holy Spirit is like that. And then you sit there and have an argument about, now is he in you or is he on you or is he upon you or have you been baptized by him? I want us to get to the point where we'll be like, look, I could care less. He is all of those. He is all of the above. He is in me. He is on me. He is upon me. Lord have mercy. I can't hardly stand it. He's all over. I think so many times we argue over lesser things when all we simply need to do is just say, you know what? Man, he is all of those things to me. And now for us, this amazing thing. After you see the book of Acts, you see these folks, and it repeatedly, whenever they have something to do, whenever they mention a name, they say, Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit. Ananias goes to Paul to do what? To fill him with the Holy Spirit. It seems like it's a requirement for everything. In fact, when they go to choose 7 men to pass out food, get this, all right? Some of the folks are not being taken care of. They've got to pass out food to people. How would we do that in America? We'd say, all right, let's get a list and let's find out who's off today, right? Who's not working this afternoon? And if they're available, let's send out a doodle. That's how we schedule things. Well, we'll send out a doodle and we want to see who's available. We'll call some people and this person doesn't work. This person's really nice. They won't say no. Let's, you know, they always say yes. Let's get them and let's pass out the food. What did the apostles say? We got to find some people to pass out food. Let's find some folks that are full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's such a sweet reliance right there, y'all. That they would say, when it comes time to just pass out food, what's the qualification for the person doing it? Somebody full of the Holy Spirit. What if we did that here? What if we said, you know, when we're looking for somebody to keep the nursery, we want somebody full of the Holy Spirit. When we see somebody at the cafe passing out coffee, what's the requirement? We want them full of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to somebody opening the door and welcoming in somebody in, what are we going to look for? Let's find somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, being full of the Holy Spirit will make you better at every single thing you do. I've noticed that as the Holy Spirit's been coming upon some of you, y'all start talking about how, I think my marriage is better. Isn't that something? Do you know when the Holy Spirit is filled in you that your marriage will be better? You'll be a better spouse. You'll be a better dad. I've heard you talk about that. I think I'm a better dad now because the Holy Spirit is doing this thing inside of me. I think I'm a better worker. All those thousands of things that you have to do you realize that you'll be better at them if you do them filled with the Holy Spirit? And so these folks, they set out to say, we will not do anything unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we will maintain that filling of the Holy Spirit. Just about everybody here serves in some capacity. I hope your heart's burning right now. I've been praying. I like, Holy Spirit, just burn in them. Just burn their heart up when I start talking about doing whatever it is. You know, ignite, doing it filled with the Holy Spirit. greeters filled with the Holy Spirit, playing music filled with the Holy Spirit, so that when people come here, the thing that they would say is not, man, I tell you what, those musicians, they're incredible down there. If you're looking for good music, you should go down there. You know? Or, man, that guy down there that preaches, oh, man, that would be nice. But you know, I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know. But what they say is, you know, you should go down there. You should go to Ember. Well, why? Because God is there. Because God is there. How do you know He's there? Because every time I go, I experience Him. Everybody I seem to run into down there is either full or about to get full. They're either full or in the process of being full. Now that's the thing. You know, as a church, we ought to be bringing in people, and at some point this thing has got to go out. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? 10 years ago, Chris Gadd and I were talking about this. 10 years ago, Chris and maybe some of you were part of this then too. It's the first time I experienced the Holy Spirit. And it was an amazing thing. It's like I told you, Brantley and I would race to the phone to call people and say, you got to come. Why? God's going to be there. Well, what's He going to do? I don't know. But He was there tonight, and I want to call you because He's going to be there tomorrow too. Yeah? And I think part of it was because of the people that were there. It was this Vineyard Church that came. And here's the amazing thing as I thought about this week, is one of the folks that came, I started talking to them about their pastor. And I said, your pastor, Flint. And they said, Flint's not our pastor. I said, what do you mean he's not our pastor? He said, he's not our pastor. He runs a computer business. I'm like, do what? They're like, yeah, Lee's the pastor. He's over here. I'm like, I ain't even seen Lee. Flint's the one talking. And Flint's the one that's reading my mail. You know, Flint's the one that I could have sworn had gone and got my mail, because it was like my heart was exposed to this man in such an amazing way. And I was like, this man hears God. You know, this man hears God. For all of you who are sitting there saying, that's pretty cool, and that stuff probably happens to pastors, I started thinking about the two most godly men that I know that love God the most. And do you know what? Neither one of them are pastors. Did you hear me? The two most godly men that I know. One is that man, Flint. I'd never seen anybody walk that close to God. In fact, when I got around him, I got so hungry for God. I'm like, I don't know what he has, but I want it. I want it so bad. Ooh, you know? And then another guy who is a businessman, and he just loves God. He just starts talking about God, and he starts crying. Yeah, he just starts welling up. His eyes just start tearing up when he starts talking about God, declaring his mighty deeds. It's just this thing, the two most godly men I know. And so the Holy Spirit 10 years ago was moving in such a powerful way. And sometimes my memory gets bad. And so I asked Chris, I said, what happened? You know, what happened to that move? And we started talking about how we got real internal. You know, we just kept it to ourselves. And we just sort of gazed inwardly, and we never gave that thing away. You know, this incredible gift that God had poured into us, that we had felt, and it was so amazing. We didn't give it away. Notice the instructions back in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the world. And so, here is what I believe God is doing. I'm going to walk this thing out. I think God has given us Acts 1 and 2 as an example of what's going on here. First thing, priority number one, I want us to be people who are filled with the very Spirit of God. Okay, Kevin, that's a good idea. Are you thinking about it? Are you considering it? Maybe that's what you're doing. I want us to be people who are filled with the Spirit of God. You say, I don't know if I have Him or not. I assure you, when He fills you, you will know. Okay? And so, let's be full of God. And let's do everything full of God. But then there's this point at which it becomes so powerful. I think it God becomes so real that this thing moves outward. It becomes so good that you can't contain it, that we won't want to contain it. And then we got to start looking for empty vessels. One of the prophets told back in the Old Testament, he says, go and grab these empty vessels and start pouring oil into it. I just get this picture of us being people who are just looking for empty vessels. And we're looking for how we just pour. And I believe that's how it keeps going. I used to think that this was just a Chester thing. I used to think that it was just an Ember thing. Because it says in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. And it never made sense to me. I said, how in the world can we run off and change India if we can't change Chester? You know? And so it felt like God was telling me that we had to build some authority in Chester. And I had almost completely locked myself into Chester until God exploded that in me. I want to tell you, y'all, I don't think this is just a Chester thing. I think it's going to start in us, but I believe that it's going to go out. I never saw that before, but God allowed me to see a pond with these ripples. And the ripples at the beginning of the pond were as strong as they were at the end of the pond. And it was going out. And it was as God said, Kevin, this is not just a Chester thing. That this thing's got to go out. And I even had some pictures of some of y'all going out. And so I think that we got to change our mindset. This is not just a Chester thing. Because do you realize that God's love is for the world, right? I believe we'll build authority here. And so let me end this way. The fire fell. In Acts chapter 2, the fire fell. In the Old Testament, you had to put an offering on the altar, and then the fire would fall. In the Old Testament, that was works. That ain't what you put on this altar today, folks. Our works won't cut it. Because works typically aren't filled with the Holy Spirit when you're talking about it in that sense standpoint. So we could go out here and we could work and we could do all those things. How many of us have done that? You've done it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I don't want to do that again. You know? I don't want to do that again. And so the fire falls. But the fire falls on those who have waited and who are wanting. And they become the sacrifice. Did you hear me? The fire will fall, but it falls on a sacrifice. Not your works, but on the person who says, I'll become the sacrifice. Consume me. And so we, as a people, we say, oh, fire, fall. But for it to fall, there must be a sacrifice. And so for us, we say, I will gladly be the sacrifice. You can gladly fall on me. I want all I can get. That's the invitation today. I really don't know where to go with this thing. I honestly don't. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Those of you who want to minister, come down here. Those of you who want more of the Holy Spirit, you can have Him. I think you should. I don't think you ought to leave here until you do. It's the most precious thing in the world. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.